It's the Fantasy Tactics Show by KFFSC and All Purpose Roto.
You know, Sean, it's a new year for the KFFFC and All Purpose Roto doing this expert roundtable show. I think it's time for a shout out for a new intro, man.
Hey, that's a pretty good intro, let me tell you.
I mean, it's not bad. But yeah, we've been using it, though. We used it for a full year. It's time for a new one. Get some spice in there, some other tunes. I think last time one of these was by one of our listeners. So anybody out there wants to have a little bit of fun, go ahead and send us in something, and as long as you're just semi-insulting to me, it'll be accepted.
I like that. I like that. Good contest.
You got to have fun. So, yeah, send something in. We'll try to put it in there, guys. We have different shows every week pretty much during the season, two during the off season, and, of course, we are here, as I said, Tuesdays. Primarily, we focus and hover this show around the KFFFC, which Sean has been a longtime veteran of and winner. And that's the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship out there in the Horseshoe Casino, August 26th, that whole weekend. And the nice thing about this show, if you're new to it, of course, this is a show where we end up bringing in all kinds of players who participate in that contest. These are guys that play in the FFWC, FFPC, everything. Some super people and super ladies who share their winning strategies, Sean. But I like to listen to the losing strategies because I get more out of that.
Yeah, it's always good to they say you always learn more from mistakes than you do from victory, so it should apply to fantasy football as well, I think.
Correct. So hopefully I will not fall prey to Chip Kelly having a magnificent week three again this year. I don't care what happens in San Francisco. If Carlos Hyde runs for 225 yards in the first quarter in preseason game three, I'm still not drafting him too early, Sean.
Yeah, I agree. He certainly looked so good last year early, even into the first game of the real season. But, man, he certainly disappeared after that.
Now, so tonight we are going to run you guys through as fast as we can the AFC draft from a fantasy draft perspective. Everyone puts them out there, including ourselves, draft grades and how teams did, how a particular player's ranked for where he went. You know, was he overdrafted, underdrafted? But what do we really care about? We were talking about this. We care about the fantasy impact for that team. So how did each team do from a fantasy perspective? Not necessarily just the rookie and the opportunity, but what's happening to the rest of the team. So we're going to run through as much as we can. And I believe we have the grand poopah of the KFFSC on the line, Mr. Elliott.
Hey, fellas, I'm about to poopah on you, Bobby Butterfield. I feel like I was calling into last week's show. You know, you're leading with Carlos Hyde, so we just lost half of our listenership,
please.
Right there immediately, talking more Carlos Hyde stuff. Let's give the people something that'll help them win. I think you've got something
killer
to say about these draft picks, Bobby Butterfield.
You know, Sean, I can hit mute in the studio, and I don't know why I don't ever do it, but Carlos Hyde's
important.
Yeah,
and you limited us only to the AFC, you know?
Yeah.
You're like that guy that lets us go swimming in the pool, but you won't let us use the diving board. But nevertheless, I'm going to be happy with the AFC. How you doing,
I wanted to do just the East and the North. I wanted to spend more time on it. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. And there's only six people listening, so half the listeners still have three people. That's more than us.
Well, those three people are going to win a whole lot of leagues when they listen to what we have to tell them tonight. So let's get going.
If that isn't the truth right there, you are correct. Well, so let's just have a little fun and do what we can. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills first up. So they got defensive end Shaq Lawson. They got Reggie Ragland in the second round, a very good inside linebacker. A defensive tackle in round three, Mr. Washington. They picked a quarterback that's kind of interesting in round four, Mr. Jones. Then in round five, Jonathan Williams, an interesting running back. And then they finished off the draft with Colby Listenby and Kevin Seymour at cornerback. So fantasy position-wise, we've got a project quarterback, but then we got this running back and wide receiver guys and a bunch of high-priced defensive starters to start off the draft. Sean, what do you think this does to the fantasy starters and the rookies that are here on Buffalo? And, of course, we're talking Sammy Watkins and probably LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, from a fantasy perspective, I don't think Buffalo did anything. It's going to be as much of any impact at all this year. I mean, we already have to downgrade Sammy Watkins because of who his quarterback is. So I don't really care who they draft at wide receiver until they solve the quarterback problem. And as far as their running back go, you know, provided LeSean McCoy doesn't have any off the field trouble, they're pretty deep at running back as well as Carlos Williams also. So I can't really see him getting a lot of playing time behind those two guys.
Bobby Butterfield, you started your list, obviously, in the AFC East, and we're going alphabetically, unfortunately. So we lead again with the Buffalo Bills, which is nothing we can say about the Buffalo Bills. They've added depth on defense. You can tell Rex Ryan is a defensive-minded coach. Look at this draft. He didn't even draft his glamorous fullback. The running back joins a muddled group of running backs. And, you know, you've got your main player there. So, yeah, if you like the Buffalo Bills defense, you could like them a little more.
Well, you know, from my perspective, I'm going to go a little bit against the grain then here. I think that the Bills draft at defense helps Sammy Watkins. So I think guys that like Sammy Watkins, I think that's an upgrade to Sammy because this defense can be better. This is an upgrade from Mario Williams leaving, Nigel Bradham leaving. The kid from Alabama can tackle. He's going to play from day one. So I like that. And as far as running backs, I'm going to give Dynasty guys a heads up. This Jonathan Williams running back is a hell of a sneaky running back to put on your Dynasty squads. This guy, I believe, Farrell, you probably know this. I think he sat out all of last year with a broken foot. And before that, he had some nice numbers. I think Williams is interesting, and I think Sammy Watkins is better now.
Well, of course he's interesting. You're talking about Sammy Watkins being better because of down and distance situations, more turnover opportunities,
yes,
that type of thing.
Again,
Sean hit it on the nail head, Bobby Butterfield. You still got to have a quarterback to deliver him the ball. And that's where we are. I can't argue with what the Bills did at that position. They're not going, you know, they're going to stick with what's true for them. Jones is a wonderful athlete. I think we've said all we can about the Buffalo Bills, and we're talking about the dynasty percentage. I got a question for you, Bobby Butterfield, because you are a genius of the mathematical. How much fantasy football, genius of the mathematical, do dynasty players occupy?
Well, I don't know the number, but if you're going to ask me,
I don't either. I'm curious to know. I wish some of our listeners, here on Derby Week and post draft, that, you know, the millions of listeners that we have, I wish all three of them might come in and give us a little idea. But yeah, okay, you can throw him out to die, and you can say that about a lot of running backs and a lot more exciting running backs on other AFC teams. I just love you, Bobby Butterfield. You're doing a great job. Let's go to somebody else.
We will go somewhere else, but I'd say based on listener questions, Farrell, I would say about 20% are dynasty players. That's just informal.
That's more, you know, and obviously guys are enjoying that. I got to get in a dynasty league. I've never played in one. We host one at the KFFSC. It sells out, but we only have one because it doesn't seem like there's enough demand for two. But
yeah,
it sounds like
tough.
A lot of fun. And I don't know how many rookies you draft, maybe five or six in a dynasty league. It's very interesting. But, okay, you could get to this running back if you're preparing. If you're preparing for 2019, you can get to this running back.
I'm taking Williams just to spite him, Sean. And this is why we're only doing the AFC, by the way, because we're talking about dynasty football now.
Well, we might as well have something to say for them, unless they've added a new AFC franchise. We might as well have something to say.
All right, so we are going to do grades, guys, on Buffalo for Fantasy Impact Draft. I want a three-step scale. So, you know, junky, good, and great. I don't care. Where would you put the Buffalo draft for fantasy impact?
I'll say junkie.
Well, I'm going to say great because I want to be the most popular grader in business. So I'm going to say great.
I'm actually with Sean. I'm going to say junkie overall because they already weren't that good. And if you add the free agency that they kept their offensive linemen, I kind of like that. Okay, Miami.
Junkie, but it helps Sammy Watkins. There you go.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And the offensive linemen were a big plus. The Miami Dolphins, just to go out of order, Laremy Tunsil, offensive tackle, very, very popular pick that they needed. Xavier Howard, a cornerback. Kenyon Drake in round three as a running back, interesting player. Leonte Carew, if I said his name right, a wide receiver from Rutgers who's a gamer. Another wide receiver, Hakeem Grant in round six, and then a bunch of hanger-oners. Sean, Miami, of course, coming back without Lamar Miller now at the, you know, the sexy position. They've got Jay Ajayi. A lot was talked about that. We've got the great wide receivers. We've got Landry there. We've got Stills there. We've got Devontae Parker. What do you think is happening to this Miami team from this draft?
Well, I do like the fact that they've addressed that horrible offensive line from last year. It seems like this offensive line is going to be much improved. And, you know, I think they were the luckiest team in the world that video came out because they got a very nice player that far down the draft that they never thought they would have had a shot at. So I think, you know, the running back, if you like their running backs, you like them a lot more now than you did before that pick. They're very deep at wide receiver already. Unless the kid from Rutgers, you know, let some people get injured in front of him. He's got a lot of guys to overcome. He could be a good guy for a dynasty maybe a couple years down the road, but I don't think he has much immediate impact.
Sean Legan, the dynasty dynasty relevance of Carew is going to hit about week five or six, as I think this is a very good player, and I think he's an upgrade over some of those names that we keep wondering why they don't do more. This is going to make the quarterback look better. This is a very physical receiver with breakaway speed. He played for the Scarlet Knights, which is a difficult place in the Big Ten to play week in, week out. He was the player that was personally responsible for bringing Rutgers back against Indiana and gave them one of their rare Big Ten wins on the road. This is a good player. I like him comparable, not beyond or not as good, but I like him almost as much as I like the Notre Dame receiver that went to Houston, which we might get to later. So, yeah, Carew, I like that. Drake, you have to like in that situation. You guys are dead on about there, but I think they got a steal with Carew. Was that a third-rounder, Bobby?
Carew was a third-rounder.
Yeah, they got a steal there.
Yep, Carew is good. So my take on this is Tunsil is a huge upgrade to the offensive line, just like Sean. I think that's a big plus, but it doesn't matter because they're not going to be able to run the ball with the running backs they have this year. So from a fantasy perspective, I actually like what this does to Landry. I like what this does to Parker because this team will live or die based on the receptions those two players get this year. Agree or disagree, Farrell?
Oh, I agree. And I also agree there's about 6 or 8 teams that don't believe Tunsil's going to be a big help for the Dolphins because he probably couldn't help from the jail. So it's just Tunsil's situation is he's got to get to September, and then the biggest challenge would be getting from January through May of next year. I hope he does, but, man, it just gets worse every day for this kid.
And for listeners, Drake is an incredibly low-mileage running back, being back up to Henry in Alabama. He did pull in 30 catches last year, 29 catches, so that's kind of nice for pass reception. But again, I'm just focusing on Landry and Parker on this team. I don't believe they can successfully run the ball. So grades, please, Mr. Sean. Junkie, good or great?
Well, I'm going to go middle of the road and go good here. I don't think it's nearly as bad as some of them, so I'm going to go to the middle of the road here.
Farrell?
Well, you know what I think about the receivers, so that gives them a great grade already. But I tell you what, I loved watching the brass. Did you guys see it? They rolled out the head coach, the pro personnel, and the general manager, Tannenbaum, and they all looked like when the kid had an allergic reaction and had to go to the hospital and didn't face the press, they all looked like they had eaten a very, very bad burrito for lunch. You know, it just – they really looked rough down there. And I was wondering what you were thinking about your Dolphins, Bobby, but there you go.
I wasn't that happy other than I think it's great for Landry and Parker. So, and we're going to change junkie to bad burrito. So bad burrito, good or great, Farrell?
That helps. I'm going to give these good, and I will point out to this. When you're desperate to win now, which obviously the Dolphins are, they're not looking at the police blotter. Carew, as much as I love him, had some issues too. Some off the field issues this fall as well. But nice play.
Well, very good. So let's move on to New England now. New England, of course, punished not in the first round. Round two, they pick up their cornerback. Round three, a guard. Round three, they pick up their rookie Brissett, the quarterback from North Carolina State, who's very talented. I believe he took a year off after transferring possibly from Florida. Farrell might remember that one. Get to him. Took a defensive tackle, wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell in the fourth round, a couple outside inside linebackers in round six, and then a guard and a wide receiver, Devin Lucian, in round seven. Pretty quiet draft, but filling important positions given what's going on. Sean, from a fantasy perspective, the impact, of course, is going to be on the existing players. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say. I mean, New England always seems to turn people that we don't think are going to be that great into, you know, they draft players that fit their system. So I assume, you know, I'm not going to question Bill Belichick. I assume he knows what he's doing and everything will work out the way they want to. So it's probably a good draft, whether I think it is or not.
I, towards the preseason, Sean, I feel exactly like you do. But, you know, you look at these guys and you say, who are they going to beat out to make the roster? You know,
right.
Where are these guys going to – how are these guys going to get on the field? Who are the Patriots going to quit on? I was looking at the Patriots depth chart, and that's why I can't answer any of these questions because I wasn't that familiar with a lot of these players.
Well, the defensive tackle, two of these guys are massive players that are nowhere near what they're going to be in their professional career. So they're guys that they're definitely going to develop. And as far, of course, the existing lineup, we all know it's Mr. Brady. We didn't do anything about running back. So we've got the Deion Lewis factor here now. Neither one of you can. You both dodged this. And I think this is a tough roster to call on draft day. Amendola and Edelman, you know, it was tough to pick your weeks with those guys last year. And Deion Lewis, six-week wonder, and LeGarrette Blount. So back to you, Farrell. I mean, which one of those wide receivers do you want? Which one of those running backs do you want?
Spoken like a very, very true Northeasterner who is a Buffalo Bill, Miami Dolphin fan, and is holding a terrible grudge, Sean. He's holding a terrible grudge against the New England Patriots. Oh, you remember last year, Bobby was the only person that had Brady serving a 14-game suspension. They were going to let him come back for weeks 15 and 16. That's the biggest thing affecting the Patriots, not these players. But that's good analysis, Bobby Butterfield, to bring those big linemen along. They can have something that might be approaching what they had with Wolfhook years ago because, boy, he was some kind of force there. And is still playing at Houston when he's 35 years old. But, yeah, Bobby, hard for us to comment on this situation.
Let
me tell you, Edelman and those cats, please find a way onto my roster. Please.
Yeah, but find your way into your roster in an expert league because if you have to pick the weeks that those guys are going to play, I'm going to tell you it's tough. So fantasy perspective for draft grades to you first, Sean. This is just what did it do to Amendola, Edelman, and Deion Lewis and Tom Brady. So bad burrito, good or great?
I'll say on the low end of good. How about that?
Then that's a bad burrito. Farrell?
I'll say good. Because he'll take these players and make something out of them.
And then I went bad burrito, of course. That's good. Hopefully in a little while we'll change our good to something else as well. I hope so. Now the wonderful J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Darren Lee falls to them at the 20th pick, round one. Amazing. And then the Jets decide, well, we might not have a quarterback, so we better sign Christian Hackenberg. Jordan Jenkins, linebacker, a cornerback. Brandon Schell, actually a pretty good prospect, offensive tackle in round five. And then, hey, what the heck, let's get a punter in round seven. So this draft is all about helping their defense a little. Darren Lee and Jordan Jenkins. Justin Burris might give him a little help here on the nickel package, a defensive back. And Christian Hackenberg. So to you first, Sean, existing starters, what does this do? We've lost a running back on this team. We have not sure what we're going to have right for a quarterback. You tell me what this does to guys like Marshall and Decker, who I think is a steal.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly didn't bring any competition or any help at that position. So, to me, the draft didn't change my opinion of what I thought of the Jets going in next season at all. Didn't do anything for me. I thought the quarterback was a big-time reach, but, you know, I'm not necessarily a quarterback guy. But I certainly think they definitely reached for him, and I think you know where my draft grade is going already for this one.
Sean, I'm with you, except I had double bad burritos, following them up with margaritas, and was already having a bad day. So that's how I feel about the Jets deal. Hackenberg, we spoke briefly about that prior to the draft on earlier shows, I believe, and there were better quarterbacks that were available after him. You can always
yes.
argue that point, but in my – you know, the guy that sticks out to me, and I've said it numerous times, is Sudfeld from Indiana, who found a home with the Foreskins. I'm glad to see somebody in this league is thinking like I am about quarterbacks, and that kid will prosper there. So we go back to this, and what's wrong with Hackenberg? There was a lot of conversation that the guy that raised him, Coach O'Brien from down at Houston, who had him at Penn
yep.
State, would take him. And, of course, that became a moot point when they signed Osweiler. So that goes off the board. Now, where is Hackenberg going to land? I don't think anybody else would have taken him. You certainly didn't have to take him in the second round. And what's wrong with him? It's a long list, but his biggest problem is he's erratic. He throws, you know, he'll stay there on a beautiful sunny day and throw the ball at your ankles in the dirt. Now, you're talking about Decker. Who are some of the quarterbacks, Bobby Butterfield, that have thrown the ball to Decker? Who are some of the quarterbacks that have thrown the ball to Marshall? Hackenberg's opportunity to complete a pass, a back shoulder pass to these guys, is limited. These guys, if I'm Fitz's agent, I feel a lot better about everything right now. I'm wondering where the money's going to come from, but I'm, you know, I could go on and on about this situation.
That's not good. So I'm going to put him down for double bad burritos. Sean, how about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the bad burrito, for sure.
And I'm the opposite. I'm great, you guys. This couldn't have worked out better if you wanted Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, because Fitzpatrick's going to sign, and there's nothing else they got. They got Matt Forte. They're going to pass the ball. If you got Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, this couldn't have worked out better. Defense is a little better. You got a great, great coaching still here. I think from a draft cost perspective, I like where Marshall and Decker are going. Decker, to me, is just a fantastic pickup when it comes to what's going on. Let's head to Farrell's
Lane. Hey, you got more biscuits to butter here, Bobby Butterfield, on the New York Jets. Sean, I didn't know he was going to roll out his crystal football. Now he's predicting what's happening. Now, that's okay. You missed somebody. You missed a receiver coming to this team. You said the two magic words, of course, Marshall and Decker, and we've always wondered what was left over for anyone else. Is there anything except Forte that, you know, Hackenberg or Fitz, he's going to catch 120 passes, so that doesn't matter. So is there anybody else you saw at the receiver position, Bobby Butterfield, that interests you in this draft with the Jets?
Last year's rookie, Devin Smith, comes by. Don't tell me about Kenbrell Tompkins. Don't tell me about who's the other guy. I think Joe Anderson is still there. There's nothing, right? There's nothing. They don't even have a tight end.
Sharon Peak out of Clemson.
Oh, dear.
Look it up. Sharon Peak out of Clemson. Two knee surgeries while at Clemson, but a kid that is fully recovered and has some skills to really play a positive wide receiver role in the NFL. He'll be brought up in this situation around these two veterans. They've finally done something smart on the offensive side. Guess what? Marshall, big money free agent. Decker, big money free agent. All these other guys came through somebody else's system. The New York Jets are actually going to try to raise one of their own wide receivers, Sharon Peak out of Clemson, a school that put a hell of a lot of players in the NFL this year.
I don't mind it, Sean. I'm going to pencil him in for 13 catches, and I'm going to give Brandon Marshall 100 and Eric Decker 100 and Jason Mira 7. So I'm styling. Poor Farrell.
I think
poor
he's probably a pretty good bet.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see who drafts him in Vegas. We'll see who picks up Sharon Peak. Go to the mountain. Head to the mountains with Sharon Peak. Baltimore Ravens are up next. They get nervous with the video and take Ronnie Stanley, a fantastic offensive tackle at Notre Dame. That's good for Joe Flacco lovers. Camille Correa, defensive end in round 2. Another defensive end in round 3. Cornerback in round 4. Round 4 late, we pick up Chris Moore, an interesting wide receiver out of Farrell's beloved Cincinnati. Then they round out the draft with an offensive tackle, a defensive tackle in round 4. But also in round 4, he slips. Farrell's going to talk about him. Kenneth Dixon, the running back out of Louisiana Tech. So let's go to Farrell first. We've got an offensive line help. We've got some defensive help. We've got Chris Moore, the wide receiver. And then, of course, Kenneth Dixon. What do you think, Farrell?
Sean, he does have out that crystal football. How does he know I wanted to talk about Kenny Dixon? We don't do any we don't do any show prep. How does Bobby Butterfield know these things? Okay, we can talk about Kenny Dixon a little bit out of Louisiana Tech. I believe this is Tressman's ideal pass-catching running back. This is going to deflate the passing numbers of some of the other running backs there, and this player is going to come in and play some significant time and catch some significant balls. I think we've got a really good running back here that you can get at the end of the draft and take a flyer on. I hope that he does not blow up in preseason because I want the people listening to our show to fall in love with Kenny Dixon. I don't want them to see him running on a Thursday night against some third team and go ahead and draft him because of that reason. I want our listeners, but our listeners can take this one to the bank. Kenny Dixon, you'll be able to use during the season and get some receiving points out of the Tressman's favorite new running back.
Sean?
Yeah, I was going to say somewhat of the same thing. I think he fits in very well with what Baltimore wants to do with the running back as far as catching the ball. So I definitely like him. I think he's a good late-round pick, and I think he's another good dynasty pick for guys that are playing that format.
So the existing depth chart has not been full of fantasy targets. So, Farrell, what does this do to the players here? Justin Forsett, Javaris Allen, Terrence West at running back, and wide receivers, my goodness, Mike Wallace, Kamir Aiken, Breshad Perriman, I don't know. What do we got going on here, man?
Yeah, well, who'd you leave out there? Who'd you leave out
there
that's coming back? The older player, what's his name? What is that other guy's name that's coming
Steve
back?
Smith.
The old guy, little guy. Yeah, what about him, Bobby Butterfield? You're talking about Rashad Perriman, who you have an unbelievable amount of man love for. You've really taken this Perriman thing too long. We don't have a show where you don't Perriman, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, I only mentioned on the depth chart. I like Max Williams better now at this point.
Well, who's the tight end? Once again, you're leaving off the chart.
Benjamin Watson. I mean,
end that you're leaving off the chart again here? You know, you got to dig into the chart and tell the listeners what they need. You can't hold it back for yourself, Bob.
Don't draft Benjamin Watson. Don't pick up Benjamin. So the nugget here is we help our offensive line, we help our defense a bit. Offensively, I'm sorry, Joe Flacco with these wide receivers, these are tough wide receivers to pick and put in your starting lineup, Sean. I know you, Sean, enough now. You would have a hard time inserting these guys in your starting lineup, even if you owned them. So my question is Dixon, who is good enough when you compare him to guys like Forsett, Dixon being a three-down running back behind this improved offensive line. I mean, this guy had 34 catches last year, 30 the catches the year before. He's rushed the ball for looks like 450 times the last 2 years. He's a three-down back, man.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance to be, especially with, you know, Forsett coming off a very disappointing season last year. Buck Allen was given the chance and did okay, but didn't. I don't think he necessarily fits exactly what Mark Trestman wants to do. So, you know, I think Dixon definitely has an opportunity here. I'm like Farrell. I hope he doesn't have amazing preseason, but I think he probably will. So he'll probably be a high pick by the time we start drafting.
Farrell Dixon, I think he's right. It's going to be a high pick. So I'll give you my grade first and let you wrap up this team, Farrell. I'm saying bad burrito for the Ravens because there's nothing here that helps this team get better offensively.
You've got the running back that's met for fantasy football. So we're talking about fantasy football. It makes the Ravens a better team. I think you're way out of line here, Bobby Butterfield. And I think the Ravens had a weird year last year. Whoever's put that voodoo doll in their luggage and that snake in their pocket, it's going to be taken away this year, and you're going to see some different things. And you were putting some words into the Sean Liggins mouth there. Very dangerous to do because I don't think those Baltimore receivers, I'd like to ask Sean, I don't think he's as down on those Baltimore receivers as Bobby Butterfield seems to beat them up.
Let's hear it, Sean.
Well, you know, I mean, I've always loved Steve Smith, especially from a real-world perspective. But I don't like him as much as Joe Flacco because you have to hit the home run. Last year, I thought he was a good value because of where you could get him at. I mean, you could get him so far down last year. He was a nice little pick as long as he lasted. So, you know, I mean, it all depends on where you get him. And then, you know, when they had nothing else left last year, Kamar Aiken did a nice job as far as a volume standpoint. But I don't necessarily love Baltimore's passing attack.
That's beautiful. So, see, and I think the greatest draft variance that we may see at the KFFSC this year, the player with the greatest variance could possibly be Steve Smith. You could see him all over the board.
Jeez, I hope he goes up high. That'd be wonderful. That's a wasted pick. I love Steve Smith, but it's just not good. Come on. How many catches, Farrell? 70 as a max?
I don't know. It depends on how he stays healthy, but yeah, 70.
Okay, Sean, how many catches?
Yeah, I think he's in that range. I don't think Steve Smith would come back unless he thought he could perform at a level that he thought, you know, that would live up to the rest of his career. I don't see that guy coming back just for a paycheck. He's coming back because he wants to finish the way he normally plays. So I look for him to do probably a little bit better than we think. But like you said, people probably still are going to draft the name a little too high.
And then add in Max Williams and now Benjamin Watson at tight end and a bunch of tall wide receivers and Dixon. Farrell, come on, man. 6 touchdowns. How many is he going to get?
You can't predict touchdowns for any receiver to an extent when the team will change this much. The team's going to change because the outcomes are going to change. It's not going to be that weird a year. This guy finds a way to get in the end zone. And you know what? Tressman's an easygoing guy. Flacco, silent leader. This player gets on the field and says, throw me the ball. You know, if this team is competitive like I expect them to be, you've got a competitive wide receiver here. All these numbers that we're throwing around go out the board. You know, it's not – again, you can't predict what this guy's going to do. My number 70 is a floor for him. If he plays and stay healthy, that's his floor.
This is all good. I'm telling you right now, I hope this stays just this way. I hope 70% of the fantasy community is just like you are because this is not an offense to bet a lot of fantasy love on. Let's move to the Bengals. Who that them dare Bengals. They have to replace a cornerback to get Jackson. Tyler Boyd is a wide receiver we should talk about in round 2 because, of course, they lost Sanu and Marvin Jones. So Tyler Boyd in round 2. Picked up 3 more defensive players, an offensive guard, and then Cody Core, a wide receiver from Mississippi. So we'll go to you first, Farrell. We've lost some good wide receivers in this team. Of course, Eifert's the name, Giovanni, Mr. Jeremy Hill, and, of course, Mr. Green. Dalton coming back healthy now after the broken thumb. So what does Tyler Boyd do, and what about the rest of the team?
Well, Tyler Boyd catches 50 passes and is a normal Cincinnati Bengals draft pick wide receiver. This front office is getting better all the time. So that should raise the performance of the team. But it seems like every year at the wide receiver position, they're always drafting the same guy. They draft the guy out of college that was pretty darn good, but he wasn't spectacular, and he maybe get good in the NFL. And, you know, they've got one of the greatest receivers in the league. But we said in the last show, you know, as good as Green is, who are all the receivers you would draft in front of him? And then we have to move on to our second hand, you know, to start counting all the receivers we draft in front of him. So it's hard to get excited about Tyler Bloyd. He is a good player. I think I just said Tyler Bloyd, who's a good friend of mine, is Tyler Boyd. But Tyler Bloyd will be at the KFFSC drafting a team this year.
Yes, Tyler, way to go.
Beautiful, beautiful red-haired girl. We love Tyler. But the that's my assessment of this player. He's a pretty good player, but you know, I don't think I'm going into the draft with any idea that I'm going to come out of there with him on my team.
Sean?
Yeah, you know, I guess at least we can say here, these two rookies are at least going to have a chance to move directly into the lineup. I mean, they're definitely going to be given some opportunities. You know, I mean, Cincinnati got rid of every receiver on the book besides A.J. Green, just about. So, at least here are some rookies that you can draft and at least probably will be on the field immediately, I would say.
Okay, so for me, then I'll go back to you guys after my comments. I think this draft is one of the worst drafts from a fantasy perspective because we've lost these talented wide receivers. We're coming off a year where we've lost a couple years ago our defensive coordinator, then our offensive coordinator, now our offensive coach. I mean, lots of defections, two great wide receivers, nothing to come in here and help Dalton, coming back off the broken thumb. I think from a fantasy perspective, this is another degrade. It moved A.J. Green down my board. It moves Jeremy Hill down. It moves Giovanni Bernard down. Only Tyler Eifert stays where he is. For me, it's a terrible, spoiled bad burrito. How about you, Farrell?
It's a bad burrito. Yeah. A tasteless bad burrito.
A tasteless bad burrito. Oh, John?
I think it's also – I think the home team is going to be a bad burrito, not just their draft. I think you're right. I mean, like I said, you know, these rookies are going to play, but do you want them playing for you is the question. And I'm not a Jeremy Hill fan at all. I am a Giovanni Bernard fan, but, you know, until they start giving him the more workload, which they're not going to do, then I can't draft him either. So, yeah, bad burrito.
Bad burrito. That's terrible. Now, folks, we told you at the start of the show, this is a fantasy show. You got over 30 minutes without anybody plugging anything or any advertisements. And so I want to remind you all where to get Farrell, the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, second biggest live draft in the country. You can be there August 26th, 27th, 28th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A knockdown good time. I'll let Farrell talk about it in a minute. But, of course, Farrell at KFFFC.com, 502. I'm going to memorize this number by the time we're done this year. 502-523-5057. I wonder if that's his IQ. Farrell, talk about the league.
Wasn't that just cold, 57 IQ? That's just mean.
57 IQ.
Isn't that awful? Hey, you know, the league, yes. The reason we are the second biggest is because owners flock, team drafters and owners flock to the FFPC in Las Vegas the week after Labor Day to draft there. We will be drafting the last weekend in August. That's always our draft, the KFFSC. And we will, do you want to say something, Bobby, or are you choking to death? What's going on?
I'm sorry, you go. I'm just excited. Sean and I were talking. As the show, before the show started, we were like, man, I wish we could go draft right now. I wish we could go to an event. So, yeah, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Seven of our guys earned their way. Our top five finishers and our ancillary leagues, I Want Las Vegas, the winners of those two, for a total of seven of our guys, have earned a way to play in the FFPC by participation in our league. And so that's a great added prize to bring the world of fantasy football, high-stakes fantasy football together. You can punch that ticket to Las Vegas where you can play fantasy football, and if you do well in Kentucky at the KFFSC, chances are you'll do well in Las Vegas because the best players, we may be the second biggest, but the best players play here in Kentucky. And if you want to play against the best, if you think your fantasy game has developed to where you can come in and beat anybody, this is where you can certainly prove it. Give me a call, 502-523-5057.
And what Farrell said there is true. Go in there and play against the best, and you can hang. Trust me, I've seen all your questions before. We've talked to you on the air. I've met you at different events, both at Vegas and at Farrell's event, and you all can compete. I walked in and competed, and it's the best part of fantasy football is walking right in there, and next thing you know, you're drafting against a guy who won a couple years ago. And after three rounds, you sit back and you go, hey, I kind of like my team compared to Jack Smith's over there. I think it's a pretty good team. So definitely can get in there. Definitely give him a call. And don't forget the contest that Farrell has sponsored with us on the show. Just go to allpurposeroto.com, right at the top of the page, sign up for the free newsletter, and you are entered in to win one of the free teams, not leagues, one of the free teams that will be at KFFFC this year. And for that, you just get the weekly rundown letter, which Farrell will send a note out to you, and I will send a note out to you a couple times a month. So just sign up for free, and you might win a team. Cleveland Browns trying to prevent the team from being expelled to a foreign country with their management this year, drafted, to my great annoyance, Farrell, my favorite wide receiver in the draft. They take Corey Coleman, wide receiver from Baylor in round one, just about putting a stake in him for fantasy value, perhaps. I'm interested in your opinion. Then they went defense, a couple of defensive players, a nice offensive tackle. I give him credit. Round three, Sean Coleman is a very good offensive tackle from Auburn. Cody Kessler was the quarterback they wanted from USC. So, Farrell, we'll start with you. Very curious. This team's lost all of its starters, just about. RG3 comes aboard. Now we've got Corey Coleman and this young quarterback, Cody Kessler. What are your thoughts about the Browns for fantasy value?
Oh, my thoughts are that my thoughts have been truncated somewhat by your utterance that this kid is your favorite receiver. Coleman is your favorite receiver in the draft. Can you explain why?
Well, the number one reason I liked him before he went to Cleveland was because I loved how he approaches the game from that kind of mentality of, I'm going to get the ball, I can make a difference, I can work. I think he's an exceptional route runner. I like how he fights for the ball. But going to Cleveland, now I'm tied into RG3. I mean, he didn't have the 100 catch seasons. If I'm thinking right, I want to say he had 50 to 60 catches 2 years ago, 70 catches last year. But he's not a big guy. So this is I didn't want a 6'2" wide receiver. I'm looking for the smaller guys that are going to get the 100 catches or so. I know he gets off the line wicked good. I know Shan P. Hallam likes him. So I don't know. Baylor doesn't use wide receivers a lot.
You satisfied the answer to my question. Now, for the Cleveland Browns to go take a less than 6 foot, I think this kid's about 5'10", and for them to come in and take that pick in the first round with the variety of things they needed surprised me a little bit. But I believe all those things about this player. I think the kid they took in the fourth round might be the better receiver. Ricardo Lewis, Auburn, played with lousy quarterbacks, but made game-breaking catches. Sean Ligon, who detests watching college football sometimes, has told me about this player long before we even got to the draft. This kid making big plays down at Auburn. I like that player. This team had 14 draft picks. They're using some type of being called Moneyball and some application of analytics. I don't know how we can call it Moneyball when we have a salary cap for rookies. But all that aside, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because they drafted, they certainly marched to their own drummer and legitimized some of the players they picked. But my favorite player that they picked is Lewis. Cody Kessler's the next favorite. I kind of shrugged my shoulders at the first round receiver because I think there were other receivers you could have got later that might have been better. But we'll see. If 14 drafted rookies make this team, plus anyone that was signed as an undrafted free agent, it's going to be players giving it their old college try on Sunday, and this is certainly a rebuilding situation. And the last thing I'll say about them is just like the analyst said, I kept waiting for them to trade some of those picks because, Lord, this is going to be difficult on the coaching staff. How do you assimilate 14 rookies into a training camp? You know, it's going to be very, very difficult on the coaching staff with the time they have to work with players. So there you go. But, yeah, I like Lewis. You know, if they wanted to keep little receivers, they could have kept Travis Benjamin. That's all.
Yeah, so, Sean, you've got Corey Coleman now definitely starting with Brian Hartline alongside him. And to Farrell's point, Ricardo Lewis could very well be the number three guy on this team. Andre Hawkins still there, but, you know, very likely he could be the three. Interesting, RG3, and really it's Corey Coleman, Brian Hartline, RG3, and I guess you start talking about Duke Johnson. So what does it do for your opinion of the fantasy here?
Yeah, I mean, like Farrell said, I do like Lewis, and I like the fact he has experience playing with bad quarterbacks, so he should fit right in there. You know, so he'll love that. He'll fit right in there with that. I think he will be on the field. I do think he'll play that third wide receiver, but boy, it's going to be a rough year in real life and fantasy, I'm afraid, for the Cleveland Browns fans. Wow.
Hey, here's something positive. I like their schedule. I like their schedule. You know, we didn't talk about strength of schedules as much. We had that show about strength of schedules, and I've looked at schedules more since we had that show. But if you throw up their schedule real quick, they have a game in Miami, but they hardly leave the state of Ohio or a state that is not a border state to play a football game. So, you know, at least they'll have youthful enthusiasm and won't be abused by a rough travel schedule.
So, Farrell, from a fantasy perspective, though, if we look at this, Duke Johnson was kind of a pretty sexy pickup last year.
There you go, Sean, talking about Duke Johnson being sexy and Cleveland running backs. Good Lord have mercy.
I'm just letting you have an opinion. From a fantasy perspective, do you believe RG3 will be effective enough that even a team that goes 3-13 – someone's going to catch 85 catches. So you've got this rookie. You've got this Hartline. Is that tight end really going to duplicate that again? Is it looks like his 10th year now? Gary Barnage came out from nowhere last year. I mean, is Josh McCown going to run this team? So, Farrell, you're telling me, I'd like to know from a bargain standpoint, you know, round 14, whatever it's going to be, is there some value with one of these wide receivers could get 85 catches from one of these two quarterbacks?
Yes, and it was as well as Barnage played last year, and you guys could probably predict this a lot better than I could, but I think he'll be underdrafted again this year.
Me too.
I think everything that pointed to Delanie Walker having a big year with Tennessee last year, and I thought he was underdrafted. It's just no one is going to really – look at this team because they feel they've been burned. But, yes, they're going to have their moments of glory and they're going to play from behind and they're going to upset somebody one or two times, and it's going to be a fun team to watch. This is not the train wreck. This is a good coaching staff at this team. This is not the train wreck that Cleveland has run in and out of town. They finally got it right in the coaching department. They're trying something new in the front office. Yeah, this is going to be fun. And, you know, we opened the show talking about Dynasty and Keeper Leagues. My goodness, this is a team you look to for that.
Sean, how about you? I think he's spot on about the coaching staff change because when you're talking about what the positive was on this team, to me, that's the positive right there. I don't think anything about the Cleveland Browns will be fun in 2016, so I differ with Mr. Farrell on that one. but I think it'll be interesting to watch, and I think there's some great value here. What do you think, and what do you see?
I do think there's some value there. As far as Barnage goes, to me, he's completely tied to who's the quarterback. If McNown plays, I like Barnage. If McNown doesn't play, I don't like Barnage, just like last year. I mean, it was such a night and day difference when he was on the field and when he wasn't. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. As far as anybody on that team having 85 receptions, Dick Johnson might lead that team in receptions, as far as I'm concerned. So I think they will spread it around amongst a lot of those guys, but I don't know that any of those guys get to 85 catches.
So, Farrell, this is a dead man's bad burrito to me. How about you?
This is not a bad burrito. This is Bobby Butterfield's lunchbox is what this is. It's
Bobby Butterfield's
lunchbox.
It could
be full of surprises. It may not be too pretty, but at the end of the day, you might be happy that you opened it.
Certainly not pretty. Farrell or Sean, how about you?
I'm going to say good just because it probably can't be any worse than last year. It might be a little bit better.
That's just great scale. I love it. Well, this is why we just did the AFC tonight, because we're only going to get through two divisions, and that's okay. We're going to wrap up with Pittsburgh, talk a little bit about the KFFC again, and
the
get us all
we
out
are.
Of here.
We're not wrapping up with Pittsburgh. Who said we were going to wrap up with Pittsburgh?
We got
Bobby
eight more teams. It took us an hour to get through eight teams, my friend.
Bobby Butterfield, if we're going to play one more team tonight.
Then you can name the team.
We're doing one more team tonight, Bobby Butterfield.
Who is it?
We're moving to the great state of Texas.
You
and we're talking
talk
about my favorite team in the draft, the Houston Texans. That's what I want to talk about.
All right, we can talk some Texans, right, Sean?
Sure, why not?
We can talk some. This team definitely went into the draft with some ammo. Thank you, Jeff Fisher. And I guess I'll just name picks, and then Farrell can talk about it.
I really want to know what you think about these guys, because I've targeted 2 to 3 to 4 guys that I want to talk about. And I think this is I think we got breaking fantasy analysis here, but I want to hear what you think about.
Okay, so here we go. It's Will Fuller, the wide receiver from Notre Dame. It's an interesting pick. Nick Martin, a fantastic guard at round 2. I loved that pick. Braxton Miller, the offensive weapon, round 3 from Ohio State. And Tyler Irving, a running back from San Jose in round 4. So if you want me to go first, from a fantasy perspective, I love Fuller, keeping teams a little more honest with Hopkins. It doesn't change Hopkins' draft position. I don't move him down one bit because of this, because he is a beast. But I like that Fuller actually, I think, makes those defenses play a little bit more of the whole field. And I think Braxton Miller is an extremely interesting player on this offense with this coach, and it lessens the value of Lamar Miller. So if you looked at me, I'm going to say, hey, I'm concerned about Lamar Miller. Farrell?
Very nice, very nice. What do you think, what about Fuller do you not like?
What do I like about Fuller?
You said that was an interesting pick. What?
It's the speed, because he can stretch it out. Hopkins can work anything from the post all the way through underneath, short, intermediate routes.
Okay, but you said that was a, well, I forget what the word you used, but you said that was, well, Sean, what was it? Was it interesting or, you know, what did you say? Okay, well, maybe I'm reading.
It seemed like a bit of a qualifier, but I'll let him pass on that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the qualifier, and it's good. They can't roll the defense to Hopkins' size as much with this kid.
That's right.
His speed, he's got to catch the ball. He's a bit of a body catcher. I think through repetition in an NFL camp, we'll get that. Everybody knows about Braxton Miller, and you know, he's a long-time project with a huge upside. I like Bobby Butterfield's commentary, but I got 2 players here that I'm absolutely in love with.
Let's hear it, brother.
Tyler Irvin changes everything about this team's offense. Tyler Irvin, are you familiar with this guy?
I am familiar with him, but it sounds like I'm going to become a lot more familiar with him in a better way.
Go ahead and look him up on your interwebs. San Jose State University, undersized coming out of school. Made me think. I looked up his size coming out of he's 5'10", 185, which is exactly what Walker Payton entered into the NFL. They like to list him at 200. He was nowhere near. 200. That's why he ended up playing at Jackson State. Tyler Irvin, excellent pass catcher, carried the ball last year almost 300 times. And what you'll find is he does that excellent yard per carry average that you love so much, Bobby Butterfield. Mm-hmm. Tyler Irvin, I don't really know who to compare him to, but he takes this Houston offense and now puts a running back. You remember the game, remember the playoff game against Kansas City where they had running backs that flashed some skills, a couple of those guys you really like, Grimes, number 41, you really like as a football player, but you would never put him on your fantasy team.
Yep.
Tyler Irvin is a guy that you're going to love having on your fantasy team.
Sean Farrell's right. Irvin had 75 catches the last 2 years and just about 300 rushes last year. And I do recall seeing some game tape on him. I know he's a hell of a player in a screen game. What do you think of these Texans?
I do agree with that, but a little bit unfortunate for him. The guy they just paid a lot of money to, Lamar Miller, kind of is pretty good in the passing game as well. And, and like Farrell always said, you got to follow the money. And they paid him a lot of money to come down there, and he seems to be a back that fits very well into what they do. Could be a situation where he would be a true handcuff. I don't necessarily believe in handcuffs very much. But in this situation, I like this player a lot as well, and I do believe he could come in and fill a very similar role as to what Miller does, where a lot of people just take the next guy in line. And his skill sets aren't exactly the same. Here we may have a very good fit as far as that goes.
Farrell, you're back.
Go ahead.
Tyler Irvin, this back, I know he lined up like a wide receiver a lot. So does the fact that the Texans are rolling out Will Fuller as a rookie, they're probably going to put, I can't pronounce his name correctly, Yaelin Strong, their second-year guy, and Cecil Shorts as the 3 and 4, I mean, they're pretty thin and young at wide receiver. So as part of that pick, the reason it's valuable is they know he can play every week right away and just help with just, say, 3 targets.
Yeah, I think so, but I think he does it a great deal out of the running back position. And we've got a guy coming in here to play quarterback that how many games has he started in the league to get these $72 million? Was it 5? Was it 4?
Something
how many
like
games
that.
Is he?
4 or 5.
You know, and you know, so he is, they believe in him and they should, but he's a situation where, you know, the dump-off pass to a player like Irvin is going to be very, very valuable. This player is not Darren Sproles, but he's a slashing change of pace runner, which I think could. I think they're going to give him the ball 10 times a game and let him catch a few passes, and I think he could reel off some runs, some pretty good gains because of a different kind of player than Miller. That's how I kind of see it. Now, moving off him. This is a deep sleeper. This is a deep, deep sleeper. But it's what this team needs is some help at the tight end position. They found a move tight end off California Bears roster, Steven Anderson, who is a very good pass-catching tight end. He's a little undersized, 6'2", 230. But last year when we saw Houston defeat Cincinnati, and I know the offense is going to look a little different, but they tried to roll the tight end across the middle, number 84, Griffin. They tried to get him the ball many, many times. It's what this offense wants to do. They've gone out and got a guy that can do just that. Steven Anderson, an interesting player. Keep an eye on him at the tight end position in Houston.
So, Sean, for me, fantasy-wise, I think you see everything what the team thinks is going to happen on offense with Brock Osweiler, Lamar Miller, 2 big paychecks to go with Andre Hopkins. They head into the draft after spending all that money on those 2 players, plus they have Hopkins. They say, hey, we need a compliment. Will Fuller, bang. Round 2, I called him a guard. He's really a center. Let's put in a center that can call our offensive line plays, makes her offense doing the right thing. Nick Martin, highly, highly rated rookie center. Then Braxton Miller just to spread things out. And then Farrell's Tyler Irving. I think this is all about this offense. I think this team's going to try to light up the offensive world this year. What is your grade on this team?
Yeah, I think after saying all that, we have to give them, you know, a very good grade. The only thing I'm a little bit cautious about, Braxton Miller, to me, seems like he could develop into a Tavon Austin-type player,
mm-hmm.
which is great in real football, but in fantasy football, extremely frustrating because he's not going to get a whole lot of opportunities. And when he does, if he doesn't hit home runs with them, you know, good luck on what weeks to play in. He'll be exciting to watch, but I don't know that I'd put him on my fantasy team.
What's the grade then, good or great?
I'll go great. Why not?
Yeah, I like it. Farrell?
Look at Sean Ligon joining the great team there and finishing in a positive way. Way to go, Sean. Well, we know this is certainly not a bad burrito. We certainly know it's not Bobby Butterfield's lunchbox. The grade that I'm giving here is like Angelina Jolie rolling over and asking you what you want her to fix for breakfast. You know, it doesn't get any better than this. I think this team concentrated on offense and found exactly what they needed. They didn't need anything on defense. Their special team's going to be a lot better. They got a new coach, a kid named Izzo. They used to play for your beloved New England Patriots. Special teams are going to be very good. The offense is going to be a lot better. And it doesn't have to be the best offense in the world for this team to win. But down in distance and opportunities, when you talk about the team, the defense giving the offense opportunities, where we started the show was what Buffalo's defense was going to do for Sammy Watkins. This is where a defense can really do for some great offensive players. Get Hopkins on the right side of the field and throwing the ball down the end zone. It's going to be a fascinating year in Houston.
Yeah, thank you for that, because even a marginal Brock Osweiler compared to what he had last year for Hopkins, a healthy J.J. Watt, you're spot on with that. I love the grade you've given these guys. I think it's a fantastic draft for them. I'm very excited. I want this team to be fun for us. They'll probably be expensive come draft day. KFFSC, folks, KFFSC.com. Farrell Elliott, you know where to get them. Go to allpurposeroto.com as well. Sign up for your free newsletter and get a chance to win a free main event team. You can badger Farrell, show up on draft day. We'll be there. You can talk to your buddies on the air. We'll be broadcasting. Farrell, talk one more time to people where to get a hold of you. Thank our distinguished expert and kick us out of here.
Mr. Ligon, thanks for your always excellent contribution. Bobby Butterfield, you were spot on and prepared, especially when we got out of Buffalo. I don't know who in the world Pittsburgh draft, but maybe we can talk about that next week. Guys, if you want to play in the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, you'll need to come down here and make your play to be our 14th champion. This is the 14th year we've done this. We'll be there August 26th. Through 28th. We'll be in Cincinnati on August 20th, Louisville the 26th through 28th. Online begins August 17th, and we'd love to have you as a competitor. My number is 502-523-5057. Give me a call.
Folks, you will get that Vegas experience right down there. You will see the same draft boards. You will get food, the quality of which that you can eat and not have to run out and grab something else. So get down there and join Farrell. And we appreciate your downloads. Rank us on iTunes. That's just fantastic. Ever so appreciated. Sean, you're awesome for coming on the show so often. Have a good night, sir.
All right. You guys too. Appreciate it.
Ready, set, hike!